Chris Cimelli from WBFO. I'm here with Art Voice editor Jeff Kelly for our Press Pass interview. Jeff, there seems to be a bit of a standstill in the nomination even for someone to fill the role of Lynn Marinelli on the county legislature.
Yeah, we talked about this last month, and 1 month later, Chris, exactly nothing has changed. There is no progress in finding a new representative to fill Lynn Marinelli's seat. There are four Democratic legislators who get to choose, and there's no consensus among those legislators. Nobody can seem to muster three votes for any particular candidate. They have not yet called a meeting of the district's committee members, Democratic committee members, who traditionally meet, endorse a candidate. And in the past, the Democratic caucus would honor that endorsement. That tradition has gone by the wayside. But in any case, that committee has not even been called to meet yet because there could be many possible reasons. One of them is perhaps that the chairman of the Erie County Democrats, who would call such a meeting, is not sure that he'll get a palatable result, that the candidate they'll endorse is one that he wants to support.
Who are these candidates at the moment?
Oh, there's a host of them. There is a fellow named Joel Fairletto, who works in Mark Grisani's office, comes from a political family in North Buffalo. A woman named Amber Small, another woman named Jennifer D'Agostino. There is Pete Savage, who is a counsel to Mayor Byron Brown. He works in the legal department there. There is as well, oh gosh, the names just keep coming.
How did this become such a fractured situation that there's no cohesion, that there's absolutely no sort of alignment behind any one individual?
Are you familiar with the Democratic Party in Erie County, Chris?
Yeah.
This has been the way of things for the last several years. Every single decision that the party needs to make about anything becomes an occasion for this war of proxies.
Okay.
These many factions, find another reason to combat.
Right. So this will continue. Is there any sort of a deadline where they need to have the seat filled by?
They could wait until naturally an election will occur, which would be next fall. They could allow the district to go without representation that long. However, the public is unlikely to stomach that. And the situation has become it's become so mired that, in fact, Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz called for a public forum this past week, inviting members of the community to come and meet at a tavern on Amherst Street and talk it through. And I haven't talked to Mr. Poloncarz about his reasons for doing so, but I'd like to think that one reason is that he'd like people to start feeling a little pressure to do something about it.
The community input in and of itself can't make a difference, can it?
No, it's really the committee members, and again, whoever they decide to endorse, that is strictly advisory. There's no legal cause for the four Democrats in the legislature to adhere to their recommendation. It really comes down to those four Democrats, and you have them sort of split into three groups. That's amazing for just four people, but there are two, Betty Jean Grant and Tom Walgren, who will probably do more or less what party chairman Jeremy Zellner says they ought to do. And all of them have expressed a willingness to follow tradition and accept the endorsement, the recommendation of the district committee men. And then there are two others. There's Barbara Miller Williams, who is affiliated with the Grassroots Political Club, although there's maybe some separation there now. She's really more of a free agent, I would say now. And then truly a free agent, absolutely independent, associated with none of the political factions that are constantly at war, is the new legislator from South Buffalo, Pat Burke. So for anyone to fill that vacancy, they need to make deals with, or they need to please or make deals with, the Loughran and Betty Jean Grant faction, and then one or two of the others. So you have to make two separate deals. And then at the same time, you have to be lobbying the committee members because that endorsement, even if it is not binding in any way, it's certainly going to play a role when the seat actually goes up for a general election or a primary election in the fall.
Right. Do you foresee that happening, that it's going to wait that long?
No. No, I think the seat will be filled. Whether the person they fill it with will be able to hold on to it, because there are some people who are running who are already looking to that.
To the election.
For example, Jay McCarthy, who sits on the school board. he has declared himself a candidate, not just for the vacancy, but for the primary in the fall.
Okay. Speaking of the school board, we have two outside influences. Well, one you might consider an inside influence, who are talking about making a difference or attempting to make a difference with the school board, Larry Quinn being one of them. What, in a sense, difference can he really make?
Well, you know, that, I asked him that last week. He stopped by the office on other business, and I asked him, how do you expect to be able to change this sort of disastrously dysfunctional system from the inside? He replied essentially that that's the only way you can fix it. He likened it to a corporation which is just dysfunctional and losing money hand over fist, but it's for whatever reason, you can't walk away from it. It's too important to let fail. And he said, you just have to go in there. You have to get on the board of directors. You have to get a block of votes. And he said, you just have to start identifying problems and changing things drastically, not saying that anything is good enough. And I got the sense that, you know, his motivations for wanting to do this are genuine. One may agree or disagree with what he thinks the solutions are, but that he's getting in for the right reasons.
Do you get a sense that he can work with the other major voice that's now on the board, Carl Paladino?
Well, he and Paladino are quite close. Okay. And although I'm sure that they don't agree on all the same solutions, I think you can expect them, if Quinn is elected, to work as a team. Yeah.
Now, the other party that seems to be, well, that's, as I mentioned, somewhat on the inside is Mayor Byron Brown, who now has mentioned that he would like to have greater influence over the school board. What role can he play with the school board?
The role he can play immediately is the role that his opponent, Bernie Tolbert, promised he would play and would have been playing all along if he were mayor, which is he can use his bully pulpit. He can use the fact that he's got a microphone in front of him, you know, 12 hours out of every day if he wants it. And he can try to lead towards solutions. He can suggest, he can cajole, he can say this isn't good enough. He can show models from other cities where things do work. He can just make it a priority, which it has not been. For his first two terms, although he did, as he pointed out in last year's campaign, he did allocate some more money for the school board from, you know, the city's share. He has been silent on education issues. And when asked, he's just sort of wiped his hands and said, I can't make policy there. That's the school board's job, which is true. But I think perhaps he was led a little bit by Tolbert's position that, well, you could have. There are other ways to lead than making policy.
I was going to ask, this is the mayor's third term, and the school board and the schools have certainly been a major concern all through that stretch.
And before him.
Why now for the mayor to get involved?
The problem has become so central in our conversation, our public conversation, that it can't be ignored profitably. If you're a politician, you've got to weigh in, especially if you're a mayor of the municipality whose school district is in such a shambles.
Well, Jeff, thank you again for a great conversation.
It's my pleasure always.